town or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Thursday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report with our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Folks, visit his website at paulmcguire.us. Check out his radio show, The Paul McGuire Report, airing each day, weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You will not be disappointed. And subscribe to the podcast. Definitely there. And check out Paul's latest book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. It's a fantastic book. It covers so much, just as the first edition of Prophecy of the Future of America does. And again, folks who buy their tickets for Hear the Watchman, which is an upcoming event Paul will be speaking at, till the 24th, can get a free copy of the book with the purchase of your tickets. Paul, is there any upcoming events that you want to promote, from conferences to any church meetings coming up?
Yeah, sure. I'm speaking at Hear the Watchman in Knoxville. We'll be having another Paradise Mountain Church International meeting soon. They need to keep looking at paulmcguire.us for the scheduling of that. I'll be speaking at the Mid-America Prophecy Conference, August 4th to 6th in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. With a lot of big prophecy speakers, and you can find out about that on paulmcguire.us. Also, I'll be speaking at the Strategic Perspectives International Conference. That's Koinonia Institute with Dr. Chuck Misler, and I'll be speaking there. Chuck Misler will be speaking there. L.A. Marzulli, Bob Cornuk, Joseph Farah, Bill Salas, Joel Richardson, and a lot of others. So if they go to paulmcguire.us, they can, and then there's other conferences coming up, so they can check out my conference schedule. And it's always great to meet people in person, and it's always especially great to meet people who said, I know about you because I've been listening to you for 4 years on the Hagman and Hagman Report, and I can't tell you how often. I mean, that's like, it happens like all day long on Hagman. So,
that's awesome.
And you know what? Again, the Hagman & Hagman Report people are, they're all different ages. They don't fit any particular mold, but they're enthusiastic, they're passionate, and you can't put them in a little category because they defy being categorized. It's a healthy group of people.
Absolutely. The Lord has blessed us with a fantastic and informed audience, and, you know, we can't thank them enough for all they do. I want to give a quick update of what's going on at the RNC, and this ties into what we're going to get into in hour three with the what's been happening with police officers and the domestic tensions and racial divide in America. But this is a bulletin from the Oath Keepers. Three officers at RNC hit with mysterious stickers and suspected syringe attacks. at least one officer is hospitalized, as many as three officers from Georgia, two Georgia state troopers to one Cleveland Metro officer have been afflicted with stinging, numbness, and other symptoms. The symptoms are reported to be related to an individual placing stickers on the officer's skin and potentially using this action to distract the officer so someone can stick the officer with a syringe. Now, Cleveland, the Republican convention in Cleveland special event channel transmission says someone poured liquid on a Georgia state trooper. He's now feeling numb in his arm, and his arm is numb. Navy Jack, didn't see anybody pour anything onto the trooper, but heard him starting to complain about his arm burning. A Georgia trooper was hospitalized. He said he was bumped into by a crowd member. He felt a burning sensation on his arm, and then his hand went completely numb. Stickers are yellow with "I am awesome" written on them. Protesters putting these on officers. Anyone caught with a yellow "I am awesome" or elephant sticker will be detained. Two Georgia troopers are being treated by EMS. Officer had a sticker placed on him, feeling burning sensations. Police have one in custody. Protesters are coming up to officers with and sticking them with syringes, and apparently syringes were not on a banned item list. They now are. And an update on the suspect detained with stickers. Apparently the stickers came back negative, but they will be sent to Columbus for further testing. Suspect being questioned by the FBI now. So that is an update from Oath Keepers, as one officer hospitalized as they suspect a syringe attack on three officers. And this leads into our next topic about the attacks on police here domestically. My dad, through his source in the DHS years ago, talked about this increased tension in the racial divide that we see specifically and especially with police officers. What, in your analysis, Paul, what are we seeing taking place with this backlash against police officers, and what do the police and citizens need to do to rebuild the trust between the two groups, if that's even possible at this point?
Well, first I would say that we need to pray for the police officers that were hit with the syringe or whatever, as well as God's constant intervention on that convention, because it's not over. And just because one test said there was no problem doesn't mean it's an exhaustive test, because they're sticking them with something, you know. So we need to pray for the police officers, and hopefully they will do an exhaustive test of all possible chemical compounds. But what bothers me is the fact that we live in a climate partially perpetuated, well, largely perpetuated by certain segments of the media, that is generating this hostility against the police and creating a psychological environment where people feel they're justified or empowered to hurt or attack the police. Now, we don't have time to go down every incident. There are clearly those incidents of police violence against innocent people, there's no excuse for it, and that means that there has to be far better training or whatever, because if even a fraction of the videos that we've seen are what they appear to be, there's no excuse for killing an innocent African American or man or any man, no excuse whatsoever. So that's a real problem that exists, and we don't know what percentage it exists, but it does exist, and it has to be dealt with. Otherwise, it's going to simply inflame an already existing problem. Now, the other thing is we have the agitation, the deliberate agitation of racial warfare by professional groups. Some of these are funded by billionaires. I've done a lot of research. I talk about these groups in my book, Mass Awakening and A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016, 2017, and the other one. I talk about these groups. These groups are funded by billionaires and other radical groups. and they have highly trained professional agitators that are flown in. I mean, these people are psychological experts. They've been doing this for 20 or 30 years. Many of them are white. They go back to the demonstrations and the counterculture of the 70s. They know how to incite mob violence. They know how to incite police violence. They know how to incite a mob, manipulate a mob. They know how to organize. Supposedly Soros financed 10,000 people from Black Lives Matter coming into the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. The SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, they mobilize people. All these socialist, radical communist groups mobilize people to go into Cleveland. My personal opinion of the initial, I don't know how it's playing out now, but my personal opinion of the initial plans for police protection were abysmal. The police chief of Cleveland had supposedly about 1,300 police officers set up to protect the, to keep the peace. That's ridiculous. And then he asked for help at the last minute. Well, why did he ask for help at the last minute? To borrow police officers from surrounding states to get it up to be around 3,000. Then he was turned down. Again, why is this happening at the last minute? Then apparently large numbers of Secret Service and others went in to help. I hope that's true, because we're dealing with professional agitators that are infiltrating the crowd. And so you have professional agitators, you have the media, the professional agitators using propaganda and all kinds of techniques to incite violence. Black Lives Matter is, its purpose is to incite violence. It incites racism. And you have a lot of groups that are designed to promote racism. And let's remember, America is not a perfect society by any means. We have racial problems. But until the last 8 years, we were doing, somewhat well on the race problem. We still had problems, but we've had an escalation of racial tension. And why is that? It's because it's being stirred up. People are benefiting. And when you read my books, it all goes back to what you were talking about in the first hour of the program. Saul Alinsky, community organizer, manufactured crisis. And you deliberately get radical groups to agitate, to cause a manufactured crisis or a manufactured chaos through demonstrations, violence, or whatever. They deliberately agitate, they recruit, and then you see them spread. So, for example, it was, a week or two ago, and we saw demonstrations in 22, 34 cities across the United States. These were major demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the result of spontaneity. That's not just a bunch of Black Lives Matter people getting together and demonstrating. If you have 34 cities, mass demonstrations happening, and they're highly organized, that is the result of a highly organized organization that has set up the infrastructure for mass demonstrations across the United States months and months and months ago. And in the same way, you have cases of where the police were accused of violence, and it turned out that they weren't guilty of the violence at all. And you had local authorities blocking the police, which amplified the violence. So you have people in high places in the United States that are trying to incite racial violence because it enables them to divide and conquer. It gives them a pretext, if things get crazy enough, to declare martial law, which is dictatorship. And you have other factors stirring the pot for agitation, and the whole purpose is to create a crisis or problem reaction solutions. So you create a problem deliberately designed to create a reaction so that you can create the solution, which is a police state. Now, the other thing, which I'm very, very concerned about, is the historical precedent. And the historical precedent is in totalitarian nations like communist Russia and communist nations and Nazi Germany, all the totalitarian dictators always did away with the local police force, the state police force, the community police force. They all got rid of them and replaced them with a federal police force, whether it was Nazi Germany or the communist nations. And the reason they want to move from a state or community or city police force to a federal police force is that is a mechanism for totalitarianism and dictatorship. You then have a federal government-controlled army policing the people. And that is an end run to totalitarianism and a loss of freedoms. And that's really what we're facing here. All the demonstrations we're seeing, there's an end game here. The end game is to destroy our Constitution and Bill of Rights and put in a totalitarian state. And we need to remember the lessons of history.
Absolutely. And, you know, the historical examples that you just gave started out with, especially, you know, for one, Nazi Germany, the Reichstag fire, a false flag attack. And, you know, up till today, we have 9/11, which was laid out the groundwork for the Patriot Act to be established, a almost carbon copy of the Enablers Act, which was what it was established in Nazi Germany after the Reichstag fire. And we have a president who is calling today for a federalized police department. And before and during his election in 2008-2009, we saw that he called for a civilian police force equal to that of, you know, the local and state police forces today. And what the people need to understand about this is that the local police forces and sheriffs and the state police forces are supposed to be for the people, and many of them are. I liked what Rudy Giuliani said at the Republican National Convention, that when a police officer is called to a situation, he doesn't ask or care what, you know, race or gender a person is. He does their job. They do their job, and they go and save the person, regardless of who they are or where they come from, and they make no distinction. But when you look at the historical examples of federalized police forces, it is, as you said, authoritarian and totalitarian regimes that then in turn use those police forces to intimidate and to commit genocide against citizens so often in all these examples. And we are following the model of history and could very easily end up in a position where this happens in America. And many people even speculate that we will see this happen in this country. And if we continue along the same line with the racial divisions, especially, you know, there is racial division out there, but it is not nearly as real as the media is hyping it up. Now, we do have the incidents with police and especially the black community. At the same time, if you look at the statistics, more white people are killed by police than African Americans. Do you think that there should be a retraining of officers, that they need to go through some kind of policy change? What would be a proper solution? Because we know that the Black Lives Matter movement is more political than anything, and as you said, it is backed by the likes of George Soros with ads on different social sites to pay $15 an hour for people to protest in these different cities. And when that gets infiltrated by agitators and people who are paid more to create violence there to spawn this division further, I just don't see a way this ends well unless both sides come to an agreement and are able to move forward from there. But it does not look like that will be the case. And for an example, here in our town, yesterday, a 9-year-old girl fell down a cliff embankment into the lake, Lake Erie, and two police officers, got out of their gear real quick instead of waiting for the Coast Guard and swam 60 feet out into the lake and saved this young girl. We never hear about those stories on the national scale, but every time somebody is shot, unprovoked, as they say, or as it seems, without provocation or during routine traffic stops, that gets put on every, news outlet, from the East to West Coast in every paper and publication, radio and TV show. So I guess part of the problem is not only the media, you know, playing into that divide and conquer and racist ideology, and it's also them not covering the good things that police officers do at the same time.
I think the police officers are doing a lot of good things, and there's no coverage of it. And there are certain networks, not all of them, but there are certain networks which, man, you just get the feeling that they're doing everything they possibly can to fan the flames of racial hatred or to fan the flames of riots. They're inciting racist emotions in both white people and African American people. I mean, they're really inciting it. And I believe they're partially responsible. Now, on the other hand, I think there needs to be increased training among police, because the reality is we live in a racially heightened atmosphere. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I thought about this a while. Every single person, because every single person has a fallen human nature, has a certain percentage of racism or tribalism or ethnic group identification in them, even if it's subconscious. So when you have a heightened situation, you know, deep down inside people's psychological being, because all men and women are sinners, there's a propensity to have racism or a tribal type identity. So you take a heightened situation which involves guns, and even if somebody's just innocently has a gun, a heightened situation. I remember years ago the police were overreacting. There's a psychological syndrome that when police are chasing somebody in one of these car chases that you see on TV with the news helicopter, what would happen often in California, probably in other places too, is when the police finally stopped the guy that they were involved in an hour car chase with, they would beat the daylights out of the person who they stopped and pulled out of the car, I mean brutally. But the psychologists gave them tests and realized the reason that the cops beat the people, you know, intensely, is the adrenaline high of chasing somebody, you know, at 65 miles an hour on a freeway in a car chase for an hour or whatever. The adrenaline chemical was just skyrocketed in them. So they began to undergo training with psychologists who were specifically trained in the area of biofeedback or whatever, and they were taught how to self-regulate and control their mental state so that they wouldn't get into this fight and flight syndrome with the hyper adrenaline. And it substantially, this was no new age stuff or whatever, it substantially reduced the incidence of the police beating people after the adrenaline high. So there are all kinds of psychological factors. I mean, the cop is sitting there, he's got a wife and kids. The person they've stopped, there's a number of things going on in their life, and you know, it too often escalates into a disaster. So there has to be not politically correct training, not racial sensitivity training. There has to be an effective psychological training so that the police have a much higher level of awareness and training on how to deal with these situations. And I don't mean having them manipulated through political correctness. I think that would help to some degree. But it's not going to go away with the media and other agencies, you know, accusing the police of violence. And even when they're innocent, they get accused of violence. So I support the police. I don't support innocent people being shot, but that is a tiny percentage of what's going on, and that doesn't make what happened defensible. But I support the police, and I think we need to I think they need training in the manner I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some bogus, politically correct training. I'm talking about being given psychological tools to deal with incredibly stressful situations.
No, you're absolutely right. And it is just a shame to see the level of racial divide under our current president, who promised that through his administration and presidency that this would be an issue that he would help to pour water on those fires and to make the bringing together of all races together in a good way, that he would unify the country regardless of race or class. All that seemed to go out the window when he was elected. As my dad said, even since the beer summit that happened at the beginning of his presidency, he seemed to have handled all these issues and tragedies the wrong way, especially when, you know, after the Dallas police massacre, calling on police to admit their failures instead of, you know, being there at least in the first days, you know, supporting them. He was actually, you know, doing the opposite, saying, well, you guys need to change this and change that. And also, I don't know, maybe get your take on this. In wake of the Baton Rouge shootings, the White House was asked, with many local fire departments and by local police municipalities, to light the White House up in the color of blue, as showing respect for the slain officers. And local fire departments across the country were doing this, and they refused to. But if we look back and remember, they lit the White House pink for the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. They, right. After the same-sex marriage ruling, they lit the White House up in the rainbow, colors of the rainbow, to celebrate the same-sex marriage Supreme Court ruling. But they, you know, are refusing to do something as simple as lighting up the White House blue. How much of the president's actions and remarks, and also Hillary Clinton, do you think feeds into this tension on the side of the citizens who think they're doing the right thing by going out and committing violent acts against police officers?
Well, I think it's important to remember that whether you're talking about one president like President Obama or Hillary Clinton or whatever, that you have to, it's easy to emotionally fixate on a particular president or particular political personality that you disagree with and you become angry towards, and not look at the big picture, which is like, who is behind them? Because they are essentially puppets, and they are there at somebody's pleasure. And no matter how much you may dislike this candidate who's a Republican or this candidate that's a Democrat, the reality is that that person is in office because of a shadow government, or a puppet master, if you will, that has put them in office. And they are doing what somebody who's very powerful once done. So we have to remember that when we're looking at Obama or Hillary or even a Republican politician. Why is that person in office? Whose policies and agendas are they really carrying out? Because I would suggest to you that the current president, Hillary, or you can name any particular Republican, that they're not acting on their own. They're following the directives and the strategy of very, very powerful people that have put them in office. And so the real question is, who is it that is operating in America, that is funding political campaigns on both sides of the fence? Who is it that's in control of our media, that has the agenda of apparently wanting to destroy the local police, or who has the agenda of wanting to create race riots? Because from my observation, that group is far more powerful than one politician, whether it's the president or whatever. There is somebody far more powerful who has an agenda, I believe, to destroy the United States of America as a sovereign, independent nation. And they'll use a variety of techniques, race wars, fighting between the police and the citizenry, whatever it takes to deconstruct and fragment America, manufactured crisis, new world order out of chaos. So I always try to remember that. Whenever I'm looking at any situation, I try to look at the template behind it, which is new world order out of chaos. And then in my books, I talk about this in detail, because it's not the individual politicians. They are a problem, but the bigger problem is the powerful groups that they're working for that I believe have a specific agenda of destroying the United States of America as an independent sovereign nation. And the goal is to merge it into a global government. And they're just using race wars or the police thing or whatever they want to use as a mechanism to get there.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And the chaos will come if people continue to feed into this this spirit of hate. And I wonder, you know, I wanted to ask you about CERN, if you have heard any updates on CERN. I've seen some very interesting videos and other people's, from pastors to scientists, explanations on what has been happening at CERN lately, from strange clouds swirling overhead to storms that look very strange, and the talk of, you know, the opening of dimensions and other dimensions and letting entities into our dimension. And there's also a strange connection with this Pokemon Go app, which I don't know how much you know about that, and we don't have to get into that. Have you heard anything along the CERN topic?
Yeah, it's interesting you should bring that up, because I talk about CERN in detail in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, and then I talk about CERN in additional detail in the second book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. And the point that I want to bring out, which I discuss in both books, is that CERN, I believe, is a technology designed to create an interdimensional portal or an opening into another dimension. So it's not just me saying that. If you actually read the quote of one of the CERN directors, so one of the CERN directors himself said that CERN will open an interdimensional portal that will allow for the entrance of entities. Okay, now that's the head of CERN saying that. So, as you recall, in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, and A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, I kept using this terminology. Where I discussed what I'm convinced is a reality, that the Tower of Babel was an interdimensional portal and a stargate built for the purpose of allowing in interdimensional entities or fallen angels. Now, I said that everywhere, and it's in my books, and every time I say it, if people are not familiar with my work, you know, I used to get this stunned reaction like, you know, you've got to be crazy. Well, I wrote that before the true purpose of CERN began to be discussed publicly. So what I said sounded, gee, especially among Christians, gee, he's really far-fetched. I mean, you know, he's talking about the Tower of Babel being an interdimensional portal or a stargate. But so people would look at me like he's really out there. But then people are reading that the director of CERN is saying that the purpose of CERN is to be an interdimensional stargate from which entities can come in. So all of a sudden, what I said about the Tower of Babel doesn't sound so far-fetched, because it fits the description of CERN that they're reading about. And many people like yourself have seen the pictures in the atmosphere around CERN. They've read the quotes. They've seen this video on the internet of the Gothard Tunnel, the world's largest tunnel under Switzerland to celebrate the European Union. And the Gothard Tunnel has a giant all-seeing eye. It has, they're conducting a satanic ritual along with it. And then, as I discuss in both books of A Prophecy of the Future of America, I talk about the Manhattan Project and Robert Oppenheimer, the atomic physicist who is the father of the Manhattan Project. He made the decision for the atomic bomb at the Bohemian Grove, and the statue that was at the atomic bomb with Oppenheimer was of the goddess Shiva, the destroyer of worlds, and where Oppenheimer quotes the Vedic scripture saying, "I am Vishnu, the destroyer of worlds." So that Hindu goddess, the destroyer of worlds, the same Hindu goddess is at CERN headquarters. You see the goddess Shiva, the destroyer of worlds. So I think what we're seeing is something that I've written about and people need to kind of like embrace, and that is, when you go back to ancient Babylon, they did not make a distinction between the occult and technology. Occult and technology were one and the same. But now when we fast forward to CERN and the Hadron Collider, we see that occult and technology are now openly coming out being one and the same. This idea that the occult and technology or science were separate areas is something that only emerged in the last 200 to 300 years. Prior to that, science and the occult and technology were considered one and the same. The Nazis understood this because the Nazis were able, as I wrote about in A Prophecy of the Future of America, the Nazis were 100 years ahead of the U.S. in the rocket program because they got their blueprints for rockets and UFO type flying machines from clairvoyants, the Vril-Ya maidens, who telepathically received information from another dimension on how to build rocket technology. Now, the Nazis were actually working that stuff. So prior to the Nazis, we have Nikola Tesla, who opened up another dimension. The fourth dimension. This is before quantum physics. And Nikola Tesla accessed free energy from another dimension. Now, that discovery in technology was crushed by certain industrialists, but the technology of Tesla was replicated by the Nazis, and the technology of Tesla, which is infinite energy from another dimension, along with intelligence and knowledge, is what they're doing at CERN. So if you take the Tower of Babel and its original technological occult intent, which is an interdimensional portal or stargate, if you take Tesla and his interdimensional portal, which access free energy, if you take the work of the Nazis, where they receive from another dimension blueprints and scientific information on how to build advanced rocketry that put them 100 years ahead of the U.S. And now if you take the CERN Hadron Collider and the statement of the director of CERN that they have created an interdimensional portal that allows for entrance from interdimensional entities, all of those things fit together in a puzzle piece. If you connect all of those dots, they're bringing into reality a vivid picture of an understanding of reality that really is more biblical than the contemporary view that what we know only exists in our physical dimensions. We're touching upon what's happening now really is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Absolutely.
What we're touching upon is the reinvention of ancient occult technologies that existed before the flood and are coming back into being in our time, which fulfills the words of Jesus Christ where he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man."
Yeah, no, you make some fantastic points. And I saw an article yesterday or the day before about the UN and a scientist giving a speech on dark matter there, and now, you know, ABC News is today reporting that scientists looking for invisible dark matter can't find any. but this is after they already announced that they had found something that was the dark matter they were looking for. And I know there is a lot more going on in CERN than we will ever know in this life. And when we are in heaven, the Lord will reveal to us exactly what happened, how it happened, and why it happened, and what were the causes of these things. But and back to the Pokemon Go, and the reason I want to get into this is because I've seen, read a little bit about it, kept it on the back burner, saved a few articles. But what was interesting to me were a few things. One was the amount of people playing this game, and me personally witnessing the people playing this game in my own neighborhood, to the point where I actually saw the Saturday after I had surgery, so about 2 weeks ago, this Saturday, it was in the early in the morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning, I saw a young boy, maybe 13 years old, with an older man run out of my backyard with their phones, looking at their phones. And this was right around the time I learned about this Pokemon Go. So I, didn't think too much of it, but then I read a lot of stories and the terms of agreement for the Pokemon Go, and it talks about, the possibility of what Google Maps hasn't charted through the Pokemon Go app, and people using their phones to go into these different areas where Google Maps can't go, that it is mapping the rest of the country in a way that has not been done before. But also there have been a number of crazy injuries and careless fatalities from people walking into traffic, walking off of cliffs, getting into car accidents. One young man rammed his car into a police station while playing this game. But the connection between CERN and Pokemon that I heard, which I can't verify or have not been able to verify and don't know if we ever will, but that they are actually running around catching demons through these apps. And when faced with that question, is that true? I kind of draw a blank. Is it possible, I guess, would be my question.
Well,
that we see these technologies being used in harmless games, it would seem, to be involved in the demon activity.
Well, I think two things are happening in our lifetime, and one is in relationship to demon activity. So it's possible. I mean, I can't speak specifically of Pokemon Go, but I mean, it's possible. But the other thing is that as we move into the last days, there's numerous technologies that are being invented and scientific discoveries that are changing reality. Now, I know I've said this on your show before, but it bears repeating very quickly. The technocratic elite, which is the scientific elite, they're the invisible elite that are ruling our world. And when you break down the term technocratic elite, it comes from techne, which means technology, and then you break it down further, and techne means Wicca or witchcraft, and if you break it down further, techne means reconfiguring reality. So you have to understand that when you go back to ancient Babylon or the Atlantis or the civilization that existed on Mount Hermon when the fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon, the interfacing of other dimensions and other realities was common. So if you study the Bible carefully, you'll see, if you look for it, examples of interdimensional portals or entrances or doorways into other dimensions throughout the scripture. So the Tower of Babel would be one, or Jacob's ladder. Now that whole story of Jacob's ladder has to do with an open heaven and a portal into heaven. That's what the ladder represents, the going in into heaven and the coming down. It's an interdimensional portal. You have Elijah's servant. It says, "Behold, the hills are filled with chariots of fire, and his eyes are open to a angelic armies and chariots on fire all around him, he's able to see, but they were in another dimension all around him the entire time. It's just that he was given the ability to see what was going on in another dimension all around him. And then you have countless other places in the Bible where it refers to these interdimensional portals. And then Christ himself goes up into heaven. So, for example, and I talk about this in the Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we read about how Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. And I just want to read you the passage. It's short. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So he's going up in a cloud of glory. He's going from one dimension into another through a cloud of glory. And then we read numerous other places where similar things happen, in both with God and the angelic realm, but also beings coming out of the abyss in Revelation and the demonic realm. So the Bible, far from being some archaic, antiquated book, if you read it carefully, there's continual references to interdimensional portals and beings coming in from one dimension to another, both good and evil. However, it isn't until the last days, which we're in, where all of this has now begun to accelerate. And back to your statement about technology capturing demons or the worker of the CERN collider, it is possible, and this is purely theoretical on my standpoint, I'm not saying it's a reality, this is purely a theoretical, speculative statement on my part. It is possible that because of the experimentation among scientists and technology in our world today, that because technology has opened numerous portals that perhaps God did not want opened, that mankind, kind of like what we did in the Garden of Eden, we've cracked a doorway open into another dimension, which is allowing for the entrance of demons and other beings that are not supposed to be here. But if we read further on in the book of Revelation about the creatures coming out of the abyss, we may have triggered the beginnings of the creatures that are coming out of the abyss in the book of Revelation, which will culminate in Armageddon, where they're defeated and they're sent back into that abyss and the doorway is sealed. But we may have, this is speculative on my part, used our technology in the way that Adam and Eve disobeyed God through their sin. We may have cracked open a door in another dimension in a way that God did not want to happen. But God may have allowed it to happen because it fits into his end times program in the book of Revelation. I don't know, but we're tampering with technology that is far more powerful than I think we realize.
Absolutely, and the potential for, if there is the ability to open doors in dimensions, the what is unknown that could, you know, break through, you know, is more dangerous to me than the thought of when CERN started that if they created a black hole that it could envelop the whole Earth.
Right.
That would be a better outcome than unleashing a world of, you know, spiritual demons onto this planet. Paul, we only have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. I want to give you this 5 minutes for anything we haven't covered or anything that you'd like to talk about that's important to you before we end the broadcast.
Sure, I appreciate it. First of all, in the books that I write, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, the first one and second one, and the rest of the material that I deal with and what I share on your show and at conferences and on a lot of free stuff, is I'm trying to communicate a message. I'm trying to deal with the things that you're talking about, but I don't want people to come away from it feeling anxious and afraid or terrified, mm-hmm. because what I'm constantly trying to drive home is the message that God knew that we were going to be here before the beginning of time. Therefore, the fact that we're here, and that includes everybody in your audience, is by the design of God, and He designed it outside of space and time. So He pre-planned for us to be here before the beginning of time. But I don't want to leave this part out. So He already has put in us the spiritual gifts and the spiritual power that we need to be victorious in facing every single situation that we discussed. So my encouragement to your listeners is that whether it's the technology of Pokemon or the technology of CERN or the racial wars or whatever it is, whatever challenge we are engaged in, we have to always remember that God chose us before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this, and that He has uniquely equipped us with the supernatural intelligence, the supernatural gifts and talents and abilities to deal with everything we've discussed. If we took every negative thing item by item that we've discussed tonight, we have been given the supernatural ability to deal with every one of those items victoriously. And my ministry is devoted to teaching people how to access by faith the power that God has already given us. Because I find a lot of God's people, you know, they absorb this information and then they go into a state of paralysis, and I'm trying to share with them from God's word, look, God didn't create you to be paralyzed. He has given you power so far beyond what you are able to understand intellectually, but you've got to access it. And if you access it, we can be triumphant over all the spiritual battlefield areas that we discussed. And ultimately, when it comes to Bible prophecy or our lives, you know, God didn't call us to be spectators about what's going on in America or any place else. We're supposed to be participants with God in the end times, which means we each have a role to play. We each have a position to play in everything we discussed, whether it's race warfare or whatever, whether it's simply praying or sharing our faith or being knowledgeable. You know, we all have a position to play. So the emphasis is on the positive, and the positive comes from faith in God's word and His end times prophetic plan. I do not want to be guilty of teaching some kind of fatalistic message of Bible prophecy where people just cringe in fear. I believe God wants His people to be victorious in the last days. So hopefully I've succeeded in sharing that message. And they can visit the website for more information at paulmcguire.us.
No, Paul, you've done a fantastic job tonight. We've covered a whole number of issues all over the spectrum, all over the globe, from the terror attacks in France to the RNC, to the church, to what's happening with the police officers, to the globalism, to the Hillary Clinton potential presidency and the damages, to populism. And I just want to thank you so much for your time. Folks, visit paulmcguire.us and bookmark his website. From there, go down and scroll down and check out the different avenues that you can find his show, The Paul McGuire Report, which in talking with Paul, it's very exciting what he is doing. He's bringing a different type of perspective and delivery to his message, a more spiritual and biblically based message that he's bringing you. So tune in to teachings from Paul McGuire each and every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you can't listen live, I urge everybody to subscribe to his podcast or the RSS feed, where you can download the episodes each and every day and listen to them for you know, your continued walk with the Lord, and using the insights that Paul lays out so articulately to help you. And get his book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. Send him an email. Let him know what you think about his show, about his book, and about what he's been doing, working so hard amongst the body of believers to help people understand what is happening in the last days. Paul, I want to say thank you and God bless you. I know we'll be talking again soon, and I'm going to subscribe to your podcast and catch up on those episodes. You keep up the good work.
God bless your father. Tell him I said hi.
Will do, Paul. God bless you, too, and thanks for your time tonight. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, me and my dad, and it'll be a great show, followed by next week, Steve Quayle and Dave Hodges will be joining us, among other things we got going on. So, till then, stay safe. God bless.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.